Not since the trolls attacked Scandinavia has Europe had so many mythological kaiju to contend with. But can another monster fighting in the fjords be a boon to the country's tourism? Or will this calamari come up deep-fried? We jet ski into the brackish bottom to tell you if this kaiju is up to snuff on this month's tentacular episode. This is Kaiju versus History Kraken.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your jet ski riding daredevil in the deep, Miles, and joining me is another greedy corporation spreading the true monster of capitalism, Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing this month?
This year?
Yeah. Well, no, Kaiju. I usually ask you how you're doing this week, and then I'm like, wait a minute, we are monthly now.
I know, and we're like 2 months out of recording our last episode.
It's been a huge like disarray, and like I forgot how to record a podcast with you.
A single podcast without a ton of other people taking up time. It's all right.
I still do the show with Drew every week. I still do the show with you on our other show every week, but for whatever reason, the monster show, I forgot.
Yeah, we recorded Monarch Legacy of Monsters season 2. And our July episode, which is our DBZ episode with our forum podcast friends, about 2 months ago. Those were our last couple of episodes, 243 and 244. This is episode 245. And the last time we had a Kraken on the podcast was a while ago. We had episode 160 was Clash of the Titans. And then Behemoth, I think, 163 was also a giant squid-ish monster.
Oh, and then we also had giant jellyfish seafood eyes. Wars.
Giant Seafood Wars was
Monster Seafood Wars, whatever it's called. Wasn't that a giant squid thing?
Monster Seafood Wars was 201. Yeah, well, there's a squid, there's an octopus, there's a whole bunch of sea creatures. Yeah. But yeah,
I feel like we'd get octopi. You also have like whatever it is in Deep Rising. That's
yes,
got well, Kraken vibes.
We got it. We'll wait to compare this to other kaiju.
Yeah, because I was like, there's some Deep Rising in this movie.
There's a lot of, but yeah, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Like I said, though, it does look like we're also having deja vu because some of our other more recent episodes include episode 241, which was Troll 2, not that Troll 2, but the sequel to Troll, an actual sequel to Troll, which had Norway front and center in that. It also had a mythological monster in the trolls in that film. And Troll 2 shared the lead actress of Sarah Kourani is in both films, and I think utilized maybe a little bit better here.
Yeah, I will talk about it. I like the character. I it's so interesting with these Norwegian movies because I think I really love Norway in general.
I'm not gonna lie. After watching these movies, I kind of want to go to the fjords.
Oh no, I've always wanted to go to the fjords, but like, and actually, I was about to pick up something because I didn't want to sound pedantic, but do fjords have brackish water or are they freshwater?
So I think actually this one connected to the ocean.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
But I was more saying brackish because it's just full of black.
No, I know. I genuinely wasn't sure. So I was like, I kind of want to know. I know I've watched plenty of those like BBC Earth things on like Wild Norway and all that stuff of the fjords in both Norway and I think, I don't know if they call them fjords in Canada or not, but because I know Canada has some areas that are very similar.
So yeah, they're mostly open to the sea.
Okay.
But they're not really like they're halfway between, I would say, lakes and like an inlet sea. So
yeah, it's, you know,
oftentimes
if you are,
a mix.
if you're, you know, very well versed in that, and I know a Google search could probably help me out, but I'd be curious about the salinity of the fjords. Like, because I hear about, like, you know, people swimming in the fjords and everything. I just didn't know if that was like seawater or if that was like somewhat fresh. Because I know they talk about the melting glaciers. So that's all freshwater.
I was about to say, I think it depends on where they are. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny. You go look at, I'm just looking at the map, Google map of Norway's coast, and it is like so pockmarked with these giant, what looks like lakes. But then you take, you know, kind of zoom out and it's like, oh, this is connected to the ocean, you know, at one point. So I think there's definitely, like, in many deltas here in the U.S. parts where it's like freshwater just meets the ocean. But anyway,
Before we plan our trip,
it just looks so beautiful there.
I know.
Every drone shot in this film, I was like, wow, this.
Well, and one of Krista's like bucket list things is to see the Northern Lights. And I've heard that the view from Norway is absolutely stunning.
It's either you want to go north there or you want to get to Iceland. That's another
yeah, big, and I know Alaska and Canada at certain parts of the year. And I believe this film is available on VOD. You can rent this right now, but it is not available on disc here, right?
Not yet. No, I think when we actually put this on our calendar, there was only one place to watch this was like Fandango online. It was like $10. I think you can get it on Amazon now and a few other places. Yeah,
all the normal Apple TV, YouTube, Google Play, Amazon Prime. You can rent it from any of those spots now.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie did technically, I believe, come out in 2026. I think it was slated originally to release at the end of 2025, but they pushed back its opening till January of 23rd of this year at I thought this was in New York, the TIFF Festival, but it is the Tromso International Film Festival, TIFF. different TIFF, I guess. But so it premiered over there, and I think they were holding off because, I mean, this obviously I don't think was going to get like a U.S. release, but it could have done like smaller, you know, something like G-Fest or...
Well, I'm kind of surprised there wasn't some sort of push after the success of at least Troll on Netflix.
To be honest, I feel like this could really fit into that universe.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Oh, the universe of things happening in Norway.
I mean, yeah, her character in Troll 2 did not die, so I feel like they could have, if they wanted, been like, yeah, it's the same character. What?
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I think you've easily made her Marion from Troll 2, and that would have been fine because they really don't give her much development at all in this movie.
Her twin sister that she didn't talk about.
Ah, yes. Well, before we get further into the movie, Patrick, tell us what is in a title.
Oh, have I told you the stories of the legendary sea monster known as the Kraken, Miles? Probably, from what we can estimate, you know, they show up in the mythos of sailors for like over 2,000 years, like ancient Greeks, I think, were talking about these kinds of monsters. Katus, maybe, is what they called them, like Poseidon's Wrath style creatures. But yeah, more than likely, probably based on the real life giant squid, which does not come up to the surface very often, but does if it's in distress or sick or being eaten by a whale, you know, like a what's Moby Dick's whale? Humpback?
It's an albino sperm whale, isn't it?
Sperm whale. Those things. The fact that blew my mind, Miles, is like each time they cut open a sperm whale stomach, there's like 500 giant squid beaks in there, like completely undigestible, giant, colossal squid beaks just floating around in their stomach. And that just means, you know, for how many sperm whales there are, there's probably like millions of giant squids in the bottoms of the ocean.
Gosh,
And but yeah, that's where this creature is from, this Kraken. But the title of this movie, because this is a worldwide kind of mythos of the Kraken, it was released under that title just about everywhere. Except, Miles, of course, Germany and Austria had to have a fun subtitle. They can't not.
It didn't have anything to do with Frankenstein, did it?
I wish, but no, it's just Kraken, Awakening of the Deep.
Kraken Frankenstein's Fish.
Of the Deep. And it might have been required because, maybe unbelievably, another movie titled Kraken came out this year as well.
Oh, the Russian film, right?
A Russian submarine film, yeah. Which
is a kaiju film, though? I haven't looked too deeply into this one.
I mean, it's a giant squid monster. It's very similar CGI kind of tentacles.
Are we going to be covering that movie is what I'm asking.
Well, we don't have access to it right now.
Is it not available at all?
Well, when we're recording this in August, and this episode should also come out in August, it came out in April, so we don't have. And also, we're not on like great terms with Russia right now for like international distribution. But
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. This movie was already kind of a stretch for the kaiju-ish of it.
Well, yes, because it is a special monster, but like the way this movie kind of feels, it feels much more like a When Animals Attack movie.
It's and listed online.
Not a lot of like things that are potentially unique. You know, it's not a named creature. It's got bioluminescence and it's got weird little parasites.
It doesn't do that much with the bioluminescence. I was really hoping for more cool underwater sequences.
I was too.
But I will say, I mean, if we want to get into the plot, I kind of want to first talk about what we were talking about before, which is like how similar this is to other kaiju movies. Obviously, it could be in the same universe as Troll and Troll 2. It's great in that respect. And if it was, it would bring my estimation of this film up a little bit. But
same.
I described this to my wife and she was like, oh, that reminds me of Godzilla, The Return of Godzilla, because this movie also has giant sea lice, which are they just look like what if H.R. Geiger remade the horseshoe crab?
Yeah, basically.
And there's some sequences that are taken right out of, not really Scott, but James Cameron's Aliens, which I enjoyed. I like that aspect of it very much. Yeah,
they definitely had a face hugger vibe to them.
But yeah, just like the sea lice in that movie, we only get like a minute of them attacking people on the boat at the beginning of that Godzilla movie. This has a lot of sea lice. This has a lot of creepiness too. I like that. They spit black goo like the Dilophosaurus from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and I thought that was going to come into play a lot more than it did.
I mean, yeah, one time.
They kind of give it a Chekhov's gun at one point where like, what's her name again?
Who, the main character?
Yeah.
Jean.
She gets ink on her, and then you kind of fast forward to like a shower scene that makes it seem like there's other stuff that was like on her that she couldn't quite get off. And it just made it seem like there was some sort of body horror element that was going to happen that never happened.
I was like, did she get like pierced by it somewhere? Is there like a wound? Yeah, that's what I couldn't figure oozing? That out. And no, the director was just like, we got to have you in a shower scene in this film, Sarah.
Yeah, it was such a weird shot because I'm like, it really made it feel like there was going to be some sort of body horror element that was completely abandoned. And which kind of bums me out, honestly, because like they made it seem like there was going to be this cool, like, oh, maybe she's kind of infected by this thing, or maybe she can kind of get one to one, because there's the scene towards the end where she kind of goes eye to eye with this thing as if she understands it before she murders it.
It murders her. Spoilers.
And it, yeah. Which it's fine, I guess. It didn't really bother me because you don't really get to know the character at all.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I kind of wanted more with her in this film. By the end of it, I was wanting more. I also wanted more with Maria, because Maria is like the character we end the film on, the daughter of the magnate. So it's like, I feel like we just need a little bit more with both of them, and maybe a little less with, well, first of all, the Japanese business people don't die? Is that right?
They're not even involved in anything, which is what's so frustrating about their inclusion.
They're just like investing in like a ton of salmon fisheries. And I was like, this better pay off. And it's like, they don't, I guess they don't get their business deal, but we never see, they're just at their hotel mini bar, like enjoying themselves when all these Norwegian people are dying on the lake.
Yeah. You have to wonder. It's like, hey, remember that guy we just talked to like 30 minutes ago? He got eaten by a giant octopus.
Oh my gosh. The funniest scene in the movie was the dad, the businessman
on the jet ski in the business suit.
You just don't see people in suits on jet skis very often.
Amazing. You have to wonder if that was some sort of custom waterproof suit.
He was going fast too. He was
zooming. And that's the thing. It's not, there's not a lot to love. I mean, obviously it's very well directed, and again, I said this to Patrick earlier today, Norway is the best character in any monster movie that takes place in Norway.
And I feel like this movie used it even better than Troll and Troll 2.
I agree. I think this movie was gorgeously shot.
It, you know, also feels a little bit like Jaws, because you have like a mystery of like, well, how are these tourists dying? These grisly deaths.
It doesn't leave that, like,
there's not enough of it too.
Yeah, there's a lot of half measures with this movie, which is so frustrating, because so much of this movie is so good, and so much of it is like, yeah, here's a little of that, but we're not gonna punctuate it. You can have a little bit of it.
The characters and the script, if they just got a few more minutes and a couple places and a few little tweaks, I think
I also need a full reveal. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the titular character, because you don't get a quite a full character reveal. There are some moments.
You get some great moments, though.
But I did want like a good, just awesome, solid look at the Kraken, and you kind of get it twice.
Yeah, you get some almost Cthulhu like action.
Which in a different movie would have just completely worked.
The horror element, I think, is, you know, they want to reveal as little as possible for shock's sake, but it worked on me, because the scene with the flare, the red flare in the middle of the night,
Burning down.
I was honestly a little freaked out.
In a Lovecraftian movie, I think I would have really loved it. The problem is I don't know if it's the director or the writing. Someone wasn't used to writing really tense action scenes, and so some of them kind of come off a little clumsy. Specifically the scene after the great kind of, that's the thing, is like it undercuts itself a lot. There's a really great scene where Joanne is, you know, avoiding this giant tentacle following her, very, very Deep Rising style.
It's more like Japanese tentacle style. There's some creepy stuff.
Well, it's Deep Rising too.
Oh yes.
But then her buddy Eric, who she has some sort of past that we don't really quite get 100% confirmation of.
They worked on the MacGuffin machine in the past.
There is so much more implied there.
Well, and I think they both grew up in this area as well, so probably had some romance in the past. It seemed like
we're just not told anything about their relationship. Yeah. And so he comes, he tries to get it with an axe and then decides to turn a motor on, which was pretty funny. But that whole scene is so awkwardly put together and blocked that it undercuts all the tension that we just had. Because that scene where like the tentacle goes into the motor is frankly kind of hilarious.
But it's the scene that you were talking about where she's crawling through the air ducts, and then like as soon as she gets away from the tentacle, like the little sea lice scurries past. I was like, oh man, this is good.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff in this movie.
I feel like it's almost like the third act starts about halfway through the movie, but I think it really starts like once the father businessman character dies, and then they're in more like survival mode as opposed to, you know, I don't know. I guess they were in survival mode before that, but it's just a good final half of the film where the monster is finally revealing itself slowly, you know, tentacle at a time, and the threat continues to grow the entire time.
Yeah, I think my biggest problem with this movie lies in the fact that it feels, and this is going to sound very, very weird because so many of these fall into the same genre, but it feels more like a disaster film than a monster film, than a genre film.
Yeah,
in a lot. There's a lot of survival elements. There's not a ton of like figuring out what the creature is, and like, and then the first idea they have seems to work at the end. Like, there's not a whole lot of trial and error with this thing, and I think the creature as we see it is very, very cool. I love the use of the Kraken. The sea lice is a great touch.
The tentacles movement works very well. It's kind of like, you know, it's not the super intelligent, like, dodging around corners that was in the Deep. No, what was the movie? The 1990s
Deep Rising?
Movie? Deep Rising. It is more like, you know, how an octopus tries to like figure out like a maze. It's just like slowly meandering its tentacle. But it also had a part like Deep Rising. One part of the tentacle like opened up kind of like a mouth and had like another little tentacle that came out. I was like, oh, gross. But yeah, so many elements of other movies in this film. I definitely think Kaiju is one of like three types of movie this is. There's definitely a horror element. I think there's definitely monster / kaiju element. And then, yeah, a little bit adventure, drama, perhaps. The ending is definitely, I did not see the ending coming. It's kind of a dark ending, but.
Yeah, I think it had been darker if we knew the characters better.
yeah, there's that. Or if the characters knew the monster a little better, like the only character that gets like maybe a sense of what this creature is and perhaps it has intelligence is the character that died, which is
yeah, because it seems like they have like a moment of recognition before they both die.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think what sucks about that scene is like, you know, she survives the interaction with the Kraken, but does not survive coming back up for air.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was like, all right. I mean, absolutely that can happen. And as deep as she was, you know, she probably would have gotten the bends or something anyway. But I was still like, that was a choice. I don't mind the hero having a death. It just kind of seemed like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah. I don't know. Not as polished of a movie as Troll or Troll 2. I feel like those scripts are a little, you know, a little simpler, but also a little more hammered out at the end. Even though Troll 2 made some decisions I didn't agree with, the films themselves felt very, very complete. I don't know. This one definitely felt like there were some parts that, like I said, were a little bit rushed. I could have used more. The first half, not so much. First half, I feel like they padded pretty well, but I feel like at some point they should have slowed down the third act a little bit.
Yes.
And had like a breather, because it really was like the last 30 to 40 minutes were kind of like go, 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 which is fine. But it's like, you know, the police officer mother character finds out her husband's death and there's like no time to kind of process that or give her anything.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I really did enjoy this film as I was watching it. Talking back about it, I feel like I'm being, being a little negative, but.
Well, I think the problem is there is a lot of good in this movie, mm-hmm. but I think the ultimate problem, I'll go full punny. The depths are shallow.
I mean, maybe literally and figuratively in this, because it's like, I understand that they can be very deep, but there's some points where we see the monster very close to the surface, just like chilling, and no one's seeing this thing very well. It rolls in with a fog, maybe a supernatural fog that's like attached to it, but that obscures a good amount.
So the fjord that this story takes place at is the largest and deepest fjord. Or sorry, it's the deepest fjord in Europe, and it's the second deepest in the world. So it does reach a maximum depth of 1,308 meters and is nicknamed the King of Fjords.
Yeah, I like that. It's the other troll movies feel kind of fall oriented, if not winter. They seem very cold. This one is like a summer movie, you know? It's like people are out on jet skis and on little water floaties and stuff, taking boat tours. I enjoyed that aspect of it, but
I think the opening kill in this movie is fantastic. The jet skis, the whirlpool, I thought was fantastic.
Dudes chilling on the jet skis.
There are so many shots in this film that are just, I mean, just taking advantage of what they've got. Because, I mean, really, if you're a filmmaker in Norway and you're wanting to make an action or monster film, which relies on big scope and scale and epic scenery, like, you already got a place that looks like $1 million. Like,
if they hadn't had filmed The Lord of the Rings in New Zealand, they should have went up to Scandinavia in the summertime. There's some amazing vistas. Amazing vistas.
Yeah, and I mean, like Troll, like, this is a movie that I will probably play again just to have, like, in the background sometimes, because it's gorgeous. It is a stunning-looking movie, and I can't say it's not. It's as gorgeous as the fjords on which it takes place. But I
would like to. I saw a sub, and I would like to, if there's a dub available, I'd like to watch it again with that, maybe. So I could have it kind of on in the background, you know.
Yeah, I would too. Again, Norway, please keep making monster movies.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If anybody involved with Troll or this movie wants to make, what other giant monsters would there be in Norway to complete a trilogy of monsters?
I mean, they could figure something out. Like,
the troll is kind of their equivalent of a King Kong. It's like a humanoid creature. They have to have like a dragon, like, right? Like,
yeah, they have the giant sea snake. Is like it Jormungandr or whatever? The Midgar serpent?
Yeah, yeah. Give us something like that. Oh, just a mountain could giant
do one
snake.
They could do one based on Fenrir. The giant wolf thing.
Boo. We just sold Fenrir versus snake on a fjord. Snakes on a fjord.
Jormungandr. Yeah, I would absolutely, like, you could easily do that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, we've gotten
a little bit about the Kraken. We've definitely talked about, like, sort of its nebulous kaiju nature, because this is very much unnamed animal. And
the Kraken is kind of like a pronoun style name.
To a degree, I understand what you're saying, but in the previous feels like
Clash of the Titans, it was like a singular creature, you know, released the Kraken was the one Kraken.
Right. Well, this movie kind of implies that there's not the one Kraken. So we've only explored
like 5% of our ocean or whatever Maria says, which, at the end of the film.
It's frightening. Yeah. Which is a great quotation, and also, like, it fits. And it's also, well, Marie brings that home again at
something
the end.
I found out recently is, you know, every time they've explored the ocean's bottom, they go down there and they put on floodlights on their vehicle and look around, and there's nothing. It's just empty. There's nothing to be seen. All the animals down there do not use light to see. So, like, imagine, like, your space is invaded by this giant
thing.
Floodlight.
You're gonna eat out of there.
They absolutely don't know what to do, and their eyes don't work in light, so they move away from it because they can't see there. So they've started going down and using, like, red light, which doesn't, like, proc an animal's eyes, and they're getting, like, a ton more different creatures they've never seen before, and it's just fascinating. Marine biology at that depth is... It is seriously like being on another planet.
Yeah. Oh, man, they could also use I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but a drog or drogger.
Oh, as a giant monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get all of them. We should be pitching them.
I know. But give them a name. I need named animals coming from you guys. Not troll, not kraken. Give me a named creature.
I liked all the shots of the kraken. It definitely had Cthulhu vibes in its eye shape. When it was rose out of the water, I was like, oh my gosh, are we about to get a complete change of this movie into some kind of like mythical chthonic creature? I liked the tentacles. You get very little bits of its face, but what they do show of you is like horror on another level. It's definitely the megalophobia or thassalophobia, like the fear of like giant sea creatures, which I thought they did well. And it's
I did too.
I'm surprised they didn't do more of like it completely out of the water. But it, you know, it's a water creature. So when it was doing almost anything, it was underwater. But I appreciate them giving us that red light scene because I was not expecting it. I was like, ho. But yeah, what about you? Did you enjoy the design elements of the tentacles and the suckers?
I
did.
No, I thought the tentacles looked fantastic. I thought the general design of the kraken was pretty great. I mean, it looks like a kraken. And the parasites were excellent. I felt like I needed them to do a little more. Like, we see a lot of times the aftermath of a parasite attack. We only see the parasite attack a couple times, and they look a little silly in those sequences.
I liked the part that they were dissecting more. I was like, oh, this is a weird looking creature. And then when they got to the CGI version, I was like, it's just a big horseshoe, creepy horseshoe crab. You know, they look creepy enough. I understand, but it's just got a vagina on a horseshoe crab.
It just also like I liked that they did. Kind of fool the audience a little bit in the one sequence where the guy is kind of looking at the horseshoe crab. It's like on its back, and you think, okay, it's about to jump out, and instead it just squirts him with ink. And I was like, okay, that was a nice subversion of what I thought was going to happen. I really appreciated like there was some cognizant choices to like not. Or at least attempt to not be run of the mill. They don't always succeed in this particular movie, but I do think they certainly attempted to make a cool monster movie.
By the time it got to the point where the dad was going to die, I didn't want him to die. I was like, oh, he loves his daughter, you know?
Who cares? And that's the weird thing.
He just wants to sell some fish, you know? He's not that evil.
That's the weird thing about this movie is they don't make him like, yes, he is very much an ambitious capitalist. And yes, he is doing things that are not on the up and up, but they don't paint him like a pure evil character, which I did think was kind of interesting, but also like, I think that would have served a movie that fleshed out the socio-political economics of the area a little bit better.
The movie needed a Burke. It needed a completely evil corporate person that we like cheer when it dies.
Because so this movie starts off like splendidly, like very much talking about kaiju like tropes. It starts off with these great black and white interviews from the past of people who have seen these shadows in the sea, and then those things are referred to throughout the movie, but I thought that was a great, I felt like I was watching like a Godzilla type movie because they were using all this old stuff. I'm like, okay, I love this.
I'm just putting this together. Is the kid from that video, the old man
Olav? I do not
know. At the end. I'm wondering if we're supposed to make that connection or. I mean, oh my gosh, that actor's name is Hans Hansen. Well, that's the most Scandinavian name ever.
I mean, look, having just watched the World Cup and seeing most of those Norwegian players' names, that fits. But I did really, really think that was supposed to be like him as a kid because they don't flat out say it, which is also super obnoxious, but he seems to think that there's something out there.
Yeah. Have you watched Widow's Bay at this point, right?
Oh gosh, it's probably my favorite TV show of the year, and possibly of the decade.
Yeah, it might be longer for me.
And frankly, I think it's one of the best horror comedies ever made.
If they do a sequel to this movie, I feel you got runway for other creepy sea monsters, you know. But
yeah, they certainly got some sea monster stuff going on there for sure.
Give us Kraken versus Draugr or something like that.
We might get Cthulhu out of that one.
Yeah, this movie didn't really have a wide release, but I don't think it cost that much. You know, when you're filming in Norway, yes, I think companies,
3 million euros is what it cost. I think
they get a lot of kind of tax write-offs for filming in the country. The production companies, and you'll see in the credits, all have like thanks to the Norway Tourism Board for this, that, and the other, the Arts Council kind of thing. Yeah, are you ready to get to rating this movie, yes, Miles? What was your personal enjoyment at?
Because so for my personal enjoyment, I'm going to be pretty kind. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10 because I think this is a gorgeously made movie. I think it legitimately tries to make a cool Kraken film. I think it is severely underserved by its script. But, I mean, and I think some people might be turned off that it's a little glacially paced. This movie takes its time in a good way. I think this movie does clip along nicely in terms of what's going on. I like that this film treats it like Jaws and a disaster film, where it's like, no, we're building up to what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. You've paid your ticket to see a movie called Kraken, but the characters in this film have not. So I like that approach. I do think that this needed a little bit more monster mashing, and it needed a lot more like meat on the bones narratively. And I think that does take a lot away from the movie, because when I first started this movie, I was like, man, I might be on a 9.
Yeah.
Could get to a 10 depending on how this goes. Cause I mean, again, yeah, it's so easy to be taken in by how gorgeous these movies are shot. And I say these Norwegian films are shot because it's just one of the most spectacular landscapes on the planet.
I agree.
But I do think that having pretty much nothing but surface level characters with surface level motivations and development really makes this movie, like I said, just feel a lot more shallow than it should be. But it's still a good time. Like, it's 100 minutes. It wraps up, honestly, I think pretty nicely, and it does leave room for more. But also in a way that doesn't feel like dun dun dun. It's like, no, it makes sense. There might be other things, or it could have been guarding like its young or a spawning ground. So, like, the tease for the sequel is great. I kind of hope they get one, because I'd like to see what else they can do with it.
Make
Kraken versus Troll.
I'm right there with you. I think while the third act was going on, I was like, wow, I'm at kind of like an 8 out of 10 for this. As the third act went on, I went down a little bit, and the ending kind of soured it for me. But overall, I think my personal enjoyment's at a 7 out of 10.
Fair.
Not quite great, but it definitely felt like it was going to be up there with the first Troll, which I think we gave like an 8 or 9 out of 10. Very, very good movie, solid film that just fell short in some ways. It's very short, though. Like, it's one of those things, if you find this eventually on Tubi, it's worth your time for sure. And that will take us to the technical score. I feel like the graphics, the monsters, those aspects of the film are very good. They're not as good as the Troll films, not to compare them, but, you know, they probably had similar kind of resources to work with. The problem with this movie is the script. It is just, and it's maybe something I need to go back and watch. They are seemingly afraid to let you get close to these characters, but you have to build that into the script, especially when your main character dies. Like, you've got to care a whole bunch about her and her potential relationship with this guy, Eric, that never is meant to be, because they're star-crossed, you know, or whatever. And it just didn't give any one character, every character needed just like a couple more minutes of development time, I think, in that respect. The other technical aspect, though, like we said, this movie is just beautiful. I don't know. They probably had just the one set, which was like the restaurant. I feel like everything else was like a real house, a real kind of salmon farm, a real beachfront. Everywhere else felt like location shooting, which is, I'm just realizing more and more, I just absolutely love. I don't like blue screens. I don't like green screens. I'm becoming an old man. Just having watched the Christopher Nolan, The Odyssey, I'm just like, oh my gosh, the planet is so beautiful. People need to go to Iceland to shoot and in Greece to shoot these movies that take place there. Anyway, all that being said, I'm docking in a few points there and giving it a 7 out of 10 for its technical aspect. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that this script completely fails its characters, and it's too bad, because I think you have what could have been a 9 or 10 movie. I think you have an excellent creature. Think of a really good story that was trying to follow some of the greats. Like, it was using some of the elements of, like you had said before, Jaws or Godzilla, or even an element of like some Jurassic Park, with the kind of utilizing a lot of the capitalistic nature of this area. There's a lot of love for the movies that came before it, and I think that is great. It does not learn the storytelling that made those movies great, and that's the unfortunate part. And that's what comes with some of the things that, like, yes, it's great to be inspired by these things, but you also need to take in what made that thing great. And I think that the acting is very well done. This movie is beautifully directed, gorgeously shot. The creature itself, I would have liked to have seen some more shots and get a good real feel for. But overall, looked great on screen. And as did the lice or the parasites. I agree with you. They could have done a little bit more with them. But otherwise, they were effective. But yeah, I think this does kind of fail its characters and stories because of the script being so shallow. And that's unfortunate. And I'm right there with you in giving it a 7 out of 10, because I do think so much of this movie is very, very strong, and it does lift this movie quite a bit. But you just kind of can't ignore the things that keep this movie from being great, because sometimes those are subtle things and sometimes they're very loud things. And unfortunately here, it's pretty loud that this movie is good, it is not great.
What about its importance as a kaiju movie in the kaiju cinematic universe? Where would you rate this one, Miles? I know we said this is more kaiju adjacent. This is one of the ones that's like horror slash monster slash, you know.
This is a tough one for me, because I think if this movie had fulfilled what it could have been, that this particular score would be higher. But because it does not, it really doesn't make an impact on the genre. Like, had this been the great Norwegian kaiju movie, we could say something about that. And it makes many efforts in its script to kind of be in that conversation.
It's close, but we got two troll movies, you know?
and because I think the troll movies are technically a little bit higher, because this movie does fail in its execution to really successfully make this nuanced, interesting monster movie, I got to dock it pretty severely, and I'm going to go 6 out of 10. I think this movie is certainly worth seeing. I think it's worth being in the conversation, but I can't just be like, oh yeah, you got to see this movie because Norway looks awesome.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you. I'm docking it an additional point and going to I'm at a 6 out of 10 as well for its importance. Less important than the troll movies, because those are definitely in kind of another realm of their titular monsters storytelling. This one needed a little bit more. It needed the old man telling a story about the Kraken or something along those lines, something to before the monster rampage starts, I guess, prepare you for its humanization at the end. But yeah, that puts us both at about a 7 out of 10 for this movie, which, to be quite honest, I think I'm surprised about. I guess I wasn't expecting too much just from the you know, it's pretty standard, pretty, they don't give too much away in the trailer, but you understand like what the movie's going to be kind of like. And yeah, it surprised me in a few aspects. So 7 out of 10 for Kraken, for the Norwegian Kraken, not the Russian Kraken. We'll get back to you if that movie comes our way. But that is going to do it for us. Miles, where can folks find us if they want to chat about kaiju things?
Well, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Blue Sky at Kaiju Versus History. You can go to our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, and let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see our review of films and watch our list of films. And if you're so inclined and you want to chat to Patrick and I in real time, you can go over to our sister podcast website, cosmiccrit.com. There is a Discord link on there. And in that Discord, we have a Kaiju Versus History channel where you can talk to Patrick and I and our friends about any kaiju movie that pleases you. You can talk about this movie, share your thoughts about this movie, or things that you want to see. Or, hey, you guys really loved Godzilla versus Hedera. I did not. I need you to explain yourself. Come and join us.
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly. But Patrick, what are we doing next time?
Right. So next month, well, thank you, Miles. Thank you, listeners, everyone listening out there to our now monthly podcast. We're going to catch you when we have another podcast on, another group of folks to help us talk about the history of kaiju's various eras and their kind of exploration of the history of kaiju films. We're going to be joined by the folks from the Fan to Fan podcast. You might have heard us over on their podcast, but they're looking for a little bit of a kaiju crash course. So we're going to have them on here to talk turkey with them and provide our audiences with all the Daikaiju details. So tune in next time for History Versus the History of Kaiju Eiga Eras.